Leading off with the big story of the day, Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Tyler Palumbus and Dean.
Now, Nikola Jokic has 51 double-doubles. That leads the NBA by a mile. Jokic, pump fake, whirling dervish, basket counts, foul. Jokic underneath the basket and creates a little space and puts it up and in. Jokic, 4-3. Turned down! It's a good screen. Set him up. Tillman goes all the way down.
Nugget mode.
Here's the Welcome to Crib and Everything.
What's up?
What is up?
How are we?
We're doing all right, man. Thank you, Drew. We'll get to you in a second. But on this absolutely spectacular Tuesday afternoon, Nikola Jokic should be the MVP of the NBA. To discuss with us, doing a little OT is our guy, Zach By. Tyler, first of all, did you enjoy reading about the game last night, that double overtime thriller?
I certainly was reading Fast and Furious. I was refreshing the timeline. It was exhilarating to follow on Twitter. It was.
Yeah, I'm literally amazed that I'm sitting here in 2021 reading what's happening. And it was like every time I looked down, I'm like, oh, well, they came close. Oh, it went to overtime.
Right.
Oh, shoot. Oh, double overtime. And our guy, Zach By. Zach, I think Zach actually watches the game. I mean, you know, he's got the mile.
Oh, right. I mean, because he does illegal things. And, you know, he's just that type of guy.
Are you illegally streaming the game, Zach?
I'm going to go ahead and plead the fifth here.
Oh, well, that means yes.
Well, it's such a shame. I mean, it really is such a shame because two things are happening at one time. One, Nuggets fans and Avs fans aren't able to watch their team. But two, and maybe just as importantly, is that these are unique windows in franchise history, especially for the Nuggets. Unique windows in franchise history where you have an opportunity to grow your fan base. The Nuggets fan base doesn't have some sterling reputation. And when they come out with these, you know, rankings and stuff, and they have these formulas to come up with them, the Nuggets are usually near the bottom. So it's a really amazing time in franchise history to grow that pool of fans.
Yeah.
And they're not able to do it. They can't even satisfy their own fans. It's a brutal shame.
Yeah. And I don't even want to go down that road.
That's right.
It feels like we're going to take away from what the team is actually doing and who Jokic is. So, wow, first of all, and it brings up the biggest, hottest, debatable sports topic. Who's the MVP of the NBA? Abid, Steph Curry, or Jokic?
It's Jokic, and this one, I don't think, at the end of the day, is going to be particularly close, guys. And
ooh.
I know there's a difference.
Really? You don't think Steph Curry's making it particularly close?
No, I don't. Here, and I'm going to give you some evidence that I'm going to point to here. We need, first of all, Steph Curry's going nuts. It's amazing. It's an incredible story by one of the greatest players and best shooter of all time. But it's a hot month. The Warriors in the old way of the playoffs would not be in the playoffs. You can't be the MVP if you're not on a team that's in the playoffs. And a great month doesn't equal a great season. ESPN Tim Bomtance last week, they do an annual straw poll of the MVP vote, and they polled 105 people who cover the sport. That was 5 days ago. You want to know how many first-place votes Steph Curry got? Zero. How many second-place votes? Zero. You know how many first-place votes Jokic got out of the 105? 90.
Love it.
That was 5 days ago. You can't make up the MVP in
not
5 days.
Close.
I'll give you another example.
Although what Steph Curry's doing right now
is
absurd.
He's a shooting star. I'm not taking away. I'm talking about the encompassing of the season. In Vegas right now, do you know how much you have to bet to win $100 for Jokic to win the MVP? You have to lay down $400 to win $100 back. Do you want to know what you would win if you laid $100 on Steph Curry right now? 3,000. That's how ahead Jokic is in this conversation.
So we should be talking more about Embiid then.
Yeah.
Because the Sixers are the best team in the NBA.
Sixers are great. Embiid's a star. Embiid deserves to be in the conversation. But traditionally, you can't miss the time that Embiid has missed and win the MVP. More facts. You have to go back to the 2001 season when an MVP missed 10 or more games. That was Allen Iverson. Embiid's crossed through that threshold. When you're talking about two players that are neck and neck in terms of the on-court production that they have, availability does come into it. So Jokic has showed up every single game this season. And we also have to be mindful and know the discerning difference of creating television content and the integrity behind the MVP votes. ESPN has a job to do. They're going to come up with segments about Steph Curry making a run.
Sure.
They're going to debate Embiid versus Jokic. That is television. The guys who are casting the vote have integrity behind the vote. They take it very seriously, which is why Nikola Jokic will, in fact, barring injury, with just 15 games left, he's going to win the MVP for the first time in the history of the organization. And he's going to make all kinds of history doing so, because Jokic will be the latest pick to ever win the MVP.
Oh, there's look at Zach Bye.
There's only been one example in league history where a second-round pick has won MVP. That was Willis Reed. You want to know what pick he was overall as a second-round pick? Eighth overall. The MVP, the NBA was in its infancy. It was 1964. So he was taken eighth overall, but he's technically a second-rounder.
Right.
That, for me, does not count. Jokic, for all intents and purposes, will be the first ever second-round most valuable player.
Wow, I love the audio that you guys played on your show today of Coach Malone when he was asked about the defining moment in the MVP race. And he said, well, I think he's had about 52 small moments, and they all add up, right? And they're all MVP moments. Well, see, here's the deal. Steph Curry's getting a lot of attention, for sure, of late, and deservedly so. It's incredible what he's doing. But look what Jokic did last night, man. I mean, he goes for 47 points, 15 rebounds. I get it. Double overtime, whatever. Okay, cool. But talk about defining moments when you need to have the defining moments. What else could you ask for?
Yeah, and it's been remarkable, because Jokic, the biggest question about Jokic, even as recent as 2 years ago, wasn't that he could go, you know, produce a triple-double or score 40 points. It was about, can you do it over and over and over again? And this guy has become, you know, the Rock of Gibraltar. Like, he is every single night doing this over and over and over again. It's remarkable the way that he's answered that question in spades. And I just, man, this team is 6-1 in their last seven games without Jamal Murray. Their entire backcourt's gone. Monte Morris gets the start because Jamal's down. He injures his hamstring on Friday night against Houston. They're starting Facu, Campaso, and, you know, who goes 1-for-8 from the field. And Jokic is just like, you know that old, it's like is it a statue where I think it's like Atlas? He's got like the world on his back.
Right.
That's Nikola Jokic, 2021.
Every teammate I've ever had that tattooed. Every single one of them.
Okay.
Yep. Here is
put the world on my back. Yep.
Malone on Jokic is an MVP moment.
As far as an MVP moment, I don't know. Life's about a bunch of little moments. And I think Nikola's got around 56 moments this year where he's shown he's the MVP. Nikola rises to the occasion. I think he loves that. Adversity. Some guys run from it. He cherishes that opportunity. And there's a lot of moments that you guys don't see. It's the moments on a plane, at practice, in a meeting, or just spending time with him and talking with him. He's a tremendous player, but he's even a better person. And that's why I love him, because he understands what this is all about.
Okay.
I mean, it's gold, and he does. And
are we rethinking how they can do in the playoffs?
A little bit. I still don't think they're going to get out of the second round, because I just don't think they'll have enough offensive firepower without Jamal. But I'm willing to be proven wrong.
Sure.
For sure. You know, and I earlier in the day, you know, we need to be mindful of how lucky we are to have this guy as our star here in town. Nikola Jokic doesn't have an Instagram page. Nikola Jokic doesn't tweet. Nikola Jokic doesn't treat his entrance into the arena like the Met Gala. He wears team-issued gear. This just, the dude is a unicorn on the court and off the court. And I, like, if you're going to be a coach, and you're Mike Malone, how lucky is Mike Malone
right.
to coach Nikola Jokic? Because if that's the way that Nikola's wired, everyone else has to fall in line. And it reminds me so much of Tim Duncan. and the way that he was so coachable, so humble, didn't care about his brand, had the lowest profile in the league, and he just showed up and won games and won rings. And obviously, we hope Nikola gets to
and
that.
And complained about not getting fouls.
There you go. And he had a feud with Joey Crawford, for sure.
Yeah.
But like, that's who Jokic is. He just flies under the radar. He doesn't care about all these other stuff that these guys care about. He's not a silver spoon guy. And I know we appreciate him, but I want to bring even more awareness to, in that league especially, that is run by divas, and every star player has infinitely more power than their coach, Nikola Jokic's special cat.
Okay. The game is tied. There's 6 seconds to go. Would you rather Nikola Jokic, Joel Embiid, or Steph Curry have the ball in their hands?
Man, I am going to...
6 seconds to go, game's
I'm
tied.
I'm fascinated to hear your response on this one.
Yeah, so I am not a Nuggets apologist. Let me just say that. I pull for the Nuggets. I hope they win. I didn't grow up rooting for the Nuggets. I didn't. So I try to keep it as real as possible. And I feel like I need to preface that, preface your question saying that, because I'm going to answer Nikola. Because I'm not saying Steph like isn't clutch. Steph can go get his own shot. I've just seen Nikola become arguably the best closer in the sport. The numbers in crunch time, and crunch time is defined by games of 5 points or less under 5 minutes. And Nikola's numbers say that he is right there with the best closers in the sport. And, man, I've just seen it too many times to not say Jokic.
You want to say, you want to chime in?
Well, you know, I just struggle with that a little bit, because when I think of the last guy that touches the ball, that's not necessarily the guy that I want with the ball in his hands for 90% of the game. I want the scorer, the dude that's got that killer mentality. And of course Jokic is the MVP of the NBA. I get it. Of course he is.
Right.
You know, a shooter like Steph, though, a dude that's just a killer shooter,
game's
a killer
tied.
Scorer like
game's,
that.
Game's tied in this scenario.
You can put it up from half court if you need to. Ooh, I think I'm taking Steph.
And that's fair.
Does your opinion change if they're down by 1, 2, or 3?
I mean, if you're down 3, I want the ball in Steph's hands.
Okay.
Yeah, for sure.
2.
I'll have the ball in Jokic's hands.
1.
Jokic. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he can get a higher percentage shot.
He's so quiet about it, though. I have to admit that I sit there and say that, but he's proven people like dumb idiots like me wrong time in and time out. And over time, he's just so quiet about everything that he does that you sit here and say you're looking for that killer mentality. Who's the scorer? And I want the dude that's the true scorer with the, well, he is. You're right. I mean, the stats back it up, I guess.
So. Why isn't Embiid in this conversation then with you guys?
Embiid's great. I haven't seen Embiid do it as often as Jokic close games. I haven't seen it. And here's the other thing. Tyler, you're making a great point, because Jokic is the opposite of demonstrative, unless he's like yelling at a ref or something. Like, if Jokic went and stood on the scorer's table every single time he won the game for the Nuggets, he would bring more awareness to how often he does it.
Yeah.
The guy doesn't celebrate. When's the last time an NBA player as good as Jokic and has success as often as Jokic has had over the years, not celebrate? I mean, he's wired so differently that I have fallen in love with this man, with this player, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys brought up Steph Curry, and he's in the news for a good reason. We were talking with Mike Greenberg earlier, and I said this to Greeny. I said, the way that Steph Curry reinvented the game for a guard is the way that Jokic is reinventing the game for a center. Like Steph Curry took the game of basketball and just reconstructed it, and was like, he made it possible for someone who is 6 foot to believe that they can make it into the NBA. And he became the greatest shooter in NBA history. That's unequivocal at this point. It'll be Secretariat Mile behind, you know, guys like Reggie Miller and Ray Allen.
I heard James Berlatt say that on your show. You can't use the same analogy there.
No. I use it pretty regularly, though. So I'm saying he took it from me. But Jokic, what he's doing at the center position, there's no comp. There's no comp. People like bring up like Arvydas Sabonis. Like, no, it's not. This guy is top five in the NBA. He's averaging the same amount of assists. This is the way I can sum it up. He's averaging the same amount of assists as Hall of Fame point guard Chris Paul right now.
The catalyst for the Black Lives Movement Black Lives Matter movement in the NBA and in all of sports around the world was the murder of George Floyd. The verdict is in, and Derek Chauvin has been convicted of murder of George Floyd. That has come in just in the past couple minutes. This is a huge society issue. Start there, but it's a huge sports issue as well. What do you guys think this will do? And by the way, I'm following this right now on ESPN, not CNN, not somewhere else. This is on ESPN right now. So do you think this, what kind of reaction do you think this will have in the sports world as Derek Chauvin, literally within the past few minutes, the verdict has come in guilty?
And you're asking me from a sporting standpoint?
From a sporting standpoint, yeah.
Well, my first thing, and I didn't realize that was happening, the first thing I'll say is the games will be played tonight.
Mm.
I think if it went the other way, I don't think we'd have games.
Right.
Maybe across all the sports. So that's my initial reaction. God, I think maybe this city might not be lit on fire. That's my other reaction.
Tyler?
I think Zach hit it well.
Yeah. Yeah, I think this is, if things had gone the other way, I think the reaction all over the world in all sorts of corners would have been crazy. And likely a deep impact on the sports world. As this entire, situation has deeply impacted the world, including the world of sports. So that's just literally coming in. It's coming in right now. Zach, any final thoughts here with the Nuggets and Jokic?
I'd like to share just two more things, really, and I'll try to make it brief. This context is really important, and I went back and did the research by hand last weekend, spent hour and a half, 2 hours on it. I went back and looked at every single NBA MVP in the history of the sport, dating back to its first MVP in 1956, Bob Pettit. And there's one thing that became unequivocally clear to me. The NBA's top-tier talent, it's so identifiable. I think it's very different from professional football. NBA superstars you see coming from a mile away. And Jokic has defied that. So when I went back and looked at these NBA MVPs, it's amazing how oftentimes the MVP is just simply the number one pick. From Kareem Abdul-Jabbar to Bill Walton to Magic to David Robinson to Shaq to Allen Iverson to Tim Duncan to LeBron James, Derek. Like, so often this is the case. Guys, I went through it MVP by MVP. There's never been an MVP of this league going back from 1956 that's been picked past number 15.
Okay.
Nikola Jokic is picked number 41. There was a Taco Bell burrito on the screen when he was selected.
He's the khaki pants.
And there
NBA
was a
player.
Time you thought Nurk was the guy. I can't believe you thought Nurk was the guy.
So to say it's unprecedented, it shatters unprecedented.
All right. We appreciate it. Thank you. Mile High Hoops podcast?
Yes. Thank you. New episode today. Appreciate the shout out.
Oh, today?
Yeah.
All right.
I've been basically like doing two or three a week. So shout out to anyone that ever gives that a listen.
All right. We'll find it at denverfan.com. Thank you, Zach.
Appreciate you guys.
See you, pal.
The hype around Trey Lance feels like it's building, Tyler. Why is that?
Well, when you say hype, I'm not sure if that is the correct term or not. I guess there is a feeling that Trey Lance might be available for the Denver Broncos, but if you're Trey Lance, I'm not sure if that feels like hype. if you're Trey Lance, you've been thinking you're going to be going number four. You're going to be going number five, somewhere in that ballpark. For a very, very long time, it felt like it was going to go Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, maybe Trey Lance next, probably Justin Fields, but Trey Lance somewhere in that ballpark. We've had this interesting development where Justin Fields went from the bona fide number two overall selection 6 months ago to maybe being the number two. Clearly, he lost that out to Zach Wilson. Then it was debatable, is Justin Fields going to be the guy that slips? Is he going to slip all the way to 15 with the Patriots? And Trey Lance felt like he was going to be the third quarterback off the board. Now it feels like things are starting to move back towards the original position outside of Zach Wilson overtaking Justin Fields. Feels like Justin Fields is going to be the third quarterback off the board. And then maybe you might have a situation where Trey Lance and Mac Jones both fall significantly. It'll be fascinating. Everything's going to come down to what the San Francisco 49ers do. But the noise for the Denver Broncos doesn't make sense for me with Trey Lance, because Trey Lance is such a developmental guy. He's a boomer bust guy. He might end up being the best quarterback in the entire draft of all these guys when it's all said and done. He might turn into a Lamar Jackson type that goes late and is one of the best of the bunch. I just think that he's going to require the right circumstance with the right team and the right coordinator. And if you were to ask me, does Trey Lance fit into a Pat Shurmur offense? Definitely not. And if you were to ask me, do I think that Pat Shurmur would take the time to develop Trey Lance, knowing that Pat Shurmur's probably got an end goal of becoming a head coach again, meaning he needs the win right away, I don't think he would take the time to develop Trey Lance. So the noise towards the Denver Broncos doesn't make a whole lot of sense for me.
Well, the Broncos are now the betting favorites to land Trey Lance. Tyler, do you think the Niners, when they moved up to 3, 100% knew who their guy was?
I do, yes. I know we've gone around and around on that, and certainly I could be wrong. You might be right. I'm just telling you, it seems insane to me that any team in their right mind would give away 3 first-rounders for the value of the position and not for a specific player. Who would give up 3 first-rounders for a generic position not knowing who they want? Nobody. I don't think anybody would do that. You give up 3 first-rounders because you see a specific player that fits your specific needs and fits your specific scheme, and you think he's going to thrive. So I do not think that they are legitimately considering 2 or 3 different guys. I think they've got a guy in mind. Now, who that guy is, we might be surprised by who it was. I've always said that I thought it was going to be Trey Lance. And then it felt like the momentum was brewing towards Mac Jones, but I kind of stuck to my guns all along that I think the Trey Lance makes the most sense for the 49ers. But no, I don't think that they're legitimately considering multiple guys.
Well, a guy, Troy Rank, has put out a mock. And, you know, we'll have Cecil on in a little bit, and he's putting out, I guess he only does one mock. But Troy has a moving up. I have out my moving up, rather, not out. I have the value pick chart, which I hate this thing, but I want to run through perhaps what it would take to move from 9 to 7, at least how Troy sees it.
Good.
What seemed like a good idea yesterday is a disaster today. Details of all that coming up next on the Water Cooler right here on The Drive.
Does your company make safety a top priority? Alliance Safety, Colorado's premier supplier of safety equipment, is here to help make it one. As an authorized distributor of 3M safety products and home to all pro gear, Alliance has a vast inventory of personal protective equipment designed to keep your workers safe, including fall protection, safety glasses, protective gloves, and gas detection solutions. Visit AllianceSafetyInc.net. Call 303-388-8766 or stop by the Alliance Safety Warehouse off I-70 and Tower today to lock up all your safety needs.
It's time to take a trip to the Water Cooler.
Is this good for the company?
We need to talk about your TPS reports.
Did you see the memo about this?
We find it's always better to fire people on a Friday.
If you could just go ahead and make sure you do that from now on, that would be great.
Here's Tyler and D-Mac.
What would you say you do here?
Our guy Troy Rank has put out his mock. He has the Broncos moving up to 7 and taking Justin Fields. The price of doing business is a 3 this year and a 2 and a 3 next year. I'm going to have to do some math on the fly, which is always a bit dangerous. But I heard the boys in the morning just apoplectic that the Broncos would give up so much. So I have out my draft pick value chart, which, again, I hate. But I'm just trying to, you know, see if all things are equal and see if the value of going from 9 to 7 is any good or not. So let me just start with this, Tyler.
Good.
What the difference between 7 and 9 on the draft chart is 150 points.
Good.
Okay. Where a 9th overall pick is 1350 and a 7 is 1500.
Got it.
This is where you just have to sort of accept this on its face value and not even question the stupid value chart. The Broncos also have the 40th pick, so that would be the second round pick this year. The value of that is 500. What do you think the record for the Broncos? Now, this assumes they get Justin Fields. What do you think the Broncos' record would be if they did draft Justin Fields and they move forward, what do you think the record for the Denver Broncos would be in 2021?
Well, I don't think it'd be radically different in 2021, no matter who the starting quarterback is, whether that's Drew Lock, Justin Fields, Mac Jones, or Trey Lance. You're going to have a very similar record. I think you're looking at a team that is capable of winning 8 or 9 games. If everything goes the right way, they can make it into the playoffs. In all likelihood, you're probably looking at a sub-500 record, and it's probably in the 7-win mark. Okay. But I think that, generally speaking, applies towards any of them.
So where do you think overall-ish the Broncos would be drafting if they only have 7 wins next year? Same
15,
spots?
16.
Oh, 15? Okay.
Is that too low?
No, I don't. It's up to you. It's just a, you know, whatever you
want
to say.
Well, I think a 500 team is somewhere in that ballpark, and I'm saying we're a game or two out of that, so maybe you're 13, 14, somewhere.
Just pick one. Doesn't matter.
14.
14. Okay, so your second and third round picks would be worth 440 and 200. That's 640. So you would be giving up an equivalent of plus 500, 1,140 points. Now you'd be so that's the number, that's the value, 1140 points. So overall, that would put you, with all of that combined, it's the equivalent of giving up like a first round pick. So if you combine everything
together, slow down. I'm pretty slow here. You got to back up and take it a little bit slow, step by step with me here.
Right, yeah, I know.
Matt. All right, so we're talking about moving up two spots.
Two spots.
And the going rate, according to this, is that we would give up a second and a third rounder.
So the value of the seventh overall pick is 150 points higher.
Okay.
So you gain 150 points.
Right.
Right? So that's plus 150.
So you're saying we would give up 1,140 points in value to move up 150?
Right. So, correct. That's a good way to put it. Because
okay,
a 40th pick this year would be 500, and then a second and third round pick, if you finish 14th place, would be 640. So 500 and 640 is 1140.
All right. Numbers driving me crazy here. Bottom line, here's how it works. I think that the value chart is very easy to follow once you get into the second round and beyond. It's pretty much to a T. You're going to have those numbers that are attached to it. You're going to have a value that is going to be in direct relation towards it. When you're talking about top 10 pick, well, you're always going to have inflation for the top 10 pick, and that's of course more so the higher you go.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're talking about trading up for a quarterback, when the team knows that you're trading up specifically to draft a quarterback, you're going to have a little bit of inflation for that as well. So the real question here is, what is the worthy inflation of paying for a quarterback and a top 10 pick? In my mind, a second and third rounder seems pretty crazy for that to move up two spots.
Rightfully so, because even by the point value chart, you'd be in a 1,000-point deficit at the end of the day. A 1,000-point deficit, which, according to the chart,
I mean, honestly, I think if you swapped picks and gave me your second rounder, that should be enough.
Okay. Well, Troy, this is just Troy's. This is Troy's speculation. The second rounder and a second and third next year. A 1,000-point deficit, which is the equivalent of a 16th overall pick. So you essentially would be giving up the value, at least, of another first-round pick to move up two spots. And you're saying that's too much.
Yeah, I might. For who?
Justin Fields.
Justin Fields is the one guy that I would consider it for. And I do like the idea, by the way. I mean, if Justin Fields is on the board at number 7, for sure I like the idea of moving up two spots to go get your guy. That's a guy that you covet, and he's sitting there. He's available. You only got to move up a couple spots. Let's go for it. Giving up the equivalent of a first rounder to bump up two spots, I don't like that, though. When you phrase it like that, that seems like way too much.
That's what it is.
I don't think that's what it is. I don't.
Okay, what do you think it is?
Like I said, I think about a second rounder and swapping should be enough.
Okay. Well, if you swap, yeah.
So what's the value of just the second rounder?
500 points.
500 points.
Minus 150, so 350 points.
That feels closer. Yeah.
Which would...
Or if you want to throw in a fifth rounder, a second and a fifth, a second and a sixth, something like that, okay, sure.
So... it's just a matter of like what's too much or what's not too much. So that's, you can see why people would freak out and say that's too much. I understand that.
Yeah.
And that's more or less what Mike and Mark were saying this morning too. They thought it was ridiculous. But then again, you know, they think drafting a quarterback in the first round is ridiculous, period. They kind of take it to some sort of absurd extreme.
I mean, so I don't get a first round pick to move up two spots?
Right.
I don't like that. No.
Right. That feels icky.
Yeah, it does.
It's quarterback for the next, your generational quarterback. It's your guy.
Well, see, now I'm going to pull Mike Evans on you. I mean, you know that. I mean, really, you got to feel pretty good. If you feel good, okay. If you've got a tremendous grade on that guy, then honestly, there's no price that is too high. If the Denver Broncos got Justin Fields graded as the third best quarterback in this draft, he slips to number 7. You got to give up an extra first rounder to go get him in value. Then the price is not too high if you've got him graded that highly. I mean, but again, I doubt if we've got that kind of grade on any of these leftover quarterbacks at that point.
Leftover quarterbacks?
Well, that's what they would be at that point.
Wow. I guess my opinion of Justin Fields is so high that that feels like a steal to me. You know, it's funny listening to Mike and Mark, and they were like, oh, who ever heard of any of these guys? I mean, I have been seriously following Justin Fields since he was in high school because I'm addicted to Netflix, which is not good if you just want to eat food. But it's pretty good with watching documentaries, too. So I've been watching Justin Fields. I think this is absolutely why I'm probably biased towards him, Tyler. So I've been watching him since he was in high school. And I absolutely followed the drama, like when he went to Georgia, being from, from the state of Georgia and what that was all entail. And he was competing with Jake Fromm, who was from Georgia in high school as well, who was also featured in QB1. And then he went on to Ohio State, one of the most premier, programs in the country. And I'm listening to Mike and Marcus, like, how did you guys not hear of and follow Justin Fields? Like, how is he unfamiliar to you? Zach Wilson, okay. Trey Lance, all right. Mac Jones, yeah. Mac Jones, I don't know if he was even the starter at the beginning of the season for Alabama. I mean, right. I understand that, but Justin Fields? I'm biased, man. I love him. I think he'd be incredible.
So giving up a first rounder to go two spots seems reasonable to you?
To me, it seems absolutely. It's no big deal at all. It's nothing.
Hey, man, like I said, if you've got that type of grade on him and you feel that if you feel as confident in Justin Fields as I do in Penny Sewell, then you should do it. Of course, you'd be idiotic to not make that move. There is no price that is too much to go get a quarterback that you covet. I just don't feel that confident in him.
And by the way, all the soccer stuff?
Yeah.
It's,
see ya.
It's all falling apart. Right.
That was fun. Boy, Super League. That was a good idea. Lasted 2 whole days. Can you imagine
the
work that went into coming up with the Super League? Getting all those teams to agree to going to the Super League?
Gone.
What did they, I don't even know. What did they do that was so moronic that everybody folded after 2 days?
Man City out. Chelsea to follow. I mean, nobody wants to really do it now.
What was the moronic move that they made?
I don't know, man. Like, I thought the story was weird in the first place when it was like, well, it's happening. I'm like, wow. That went fast, like from nothing to it's happening to today it's done, it's not going on. Or our team's just dropping out and it's not officially canceled, but it's destined to be canceled.
The teams have definitely officially expressed that they are pulling out of the proposed idea.
By the way.
After 36 hours of criticism from fans and the media, it's like, well, wait a second.
Forget it.
Now, I don't ask me to connect the dots here because I don't fully understand it all, but I know that Kroenke owns Arsenal over there, right? Yeah, yeah. And I know that Arsenal fans are throwing some major protests. So Kroenke's got some upset fans on multiple continents right now.
Well, I'm sure as he's renting out the Malibu beach house to look at NFL draft situations, he's really worried about that. All right, there you go. Well, great idea, you guys. Let's catch up with our guy, Cecil Lammy, as we get ready for the draft. That's next right here on Sports Radio 104.3. The Fan.
It's The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3. The Fan. Here's Tyler Palumbus and D-Mac.
Draft time is Cecil Lammy time.
Woo-hoo!
Cecil, of course, at DenverFan.com, also on from 7 to 10 every night with Nick Ferguson. And let me just start with this, Cecil. Do you value the draft pick value chart? Do you like that?
I think it's the guide that everybody goes by. So, yes, I value it because it's kind of the only thing we've got to go by. So, yeah, I do value it.
So when I'm talking about Troy and he say, well, here's what I would give up to go from 9 to 7. This is what he's mocking and taking Justin Fields at 7. When we just did the math, just to wrap it up, it's basically a 1,000-point deficit for the Broncos. Good deal or not a good deal, a 1,000-point deficit, meaning that it's the trade is 1,000 points more valuable to the Lions than it is to the Broncos. Good deal or not a good deal if you get your quarterback?
And top of my head, 1,000 points is a mid-first rounder.
That is correct. Very good.
Okay. Yeah, I knew that, like, if you get towards the end, it's like 700 points. So, yeah, I mean, to get your guy, you know, Nick will always quiz me on the, what would you give up, Ciso? And I'm like, anything. If you get your guy, that's the thing. Like, who do they think is their guy? Have they fallen in love with Justin Fields? Have they fallen in love with Trey Lance? For me, 1,000 points is that, you know, it's a standard procedure. It's not too much to give up. You're not being too outlandish. If you find a guy, you build around it, you throw everything at the guy, all the resources that you can. Your defense is already there, top five on paper, maybe best in the league this year. So, yeah, if it's for the guy that you truly believe can be your franchise quarterback, then I say there's not really a price that's too outlandish for me.
What's the appropriate inflation amount for a quarterback and a top 10 pick? Because when you say it's only 150-point differential there, but we're going to give up over 1,000 and extra points here, that seems a lot to me, but is that all due to quarterback and top 10 inflation?
Yeah, yeah, and I think inflation's a great way to put it, Tyler, because it's a quarterback desperate league, right? You just, if you don't have your guy, you're looking for that guy. So that price tag, right? I understand some people have speculated the 49ers move up to 3 for Kyle Pitts. It's like, Pitts is great. You would never do that. You would never go from 12 to 3 for watch him take Kyle Pitts. But anyway, like you would not do that. You would do that for a quarterback. That's why you make that move. That's why you give up a little bit extra. That's why it's a premium price, because it's almost like that name brand value. Even if we don't know what it's going to be like in the future, if you're one of those guys, and that's Trey Lance or Justin Fields, in my opinion, then, yeah, you're going to pay that inflated price. It's maybe why the Falcons have not yet dealt 4. Because they're sitting on it. They're sitting on a pretty penny. They're asking a pretty penny. And teams have been hesitant to make that deal. Because if you're like San Francisco, just do the deal now. Why are you waiting if you're New England or if you're Denver? You really want one of these guys. You know 1, 2, and you probably know 3. Vegas says it's going to be Justin Fields. So if you really like Trey Lance, hell, move up to 4. Move up to 5. Cincinnati, they don't need to take Jamar Chase. They need Penny Sewell in a bad way. So you've got some moves that you can make. And, yes, you're going to pay that premium.
When does your mock come out?
It will be out early next week, probably on Tuesday. I was very happy with the results last year. It was the most accurate mock draft out there. 10 picks, I think, I got right, which doesn't sound like a lot, but trust me, it is.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm hitting for that type of accuracy again, and we'll see. But like I said, with the 49ers, the 49ers are usually, I'll have people around the league that reach out to me and ask me what the 49ers are doing, because I usually have a pretty good finger on the pulse.
Okay, what are they doing? They're all want to know.
Yeah, nobody knows. That's the thing.
Not only has
George Payton been tight-lipped, but with the 49ers, there's all sorts of guesses. When they initially did the move, I thought it was for Trey Lance.
That's what I thought.
It seems like it's Justin Fields now. And again, Vegas odds favor them to get Justin Fields. But we just don't know. Adam, tight-lipped. Lynch is always tight-lipped. Kyle's tight-lipped. Like, you know, that you've got no leaks. Even beat reporters that are next to that team, they have no idea what's going on. So I think the draft really begins at 3. Kind of at 4, because we know 3 should be a quarterback. But which one is it? And by the way, I don't believe it's Mac Jones.
What is your quarterback ranking list?
Ranking number 1, Trevor Lawrence. There is no doubt. Like, please, everyone, stop being cute. And I respect the hell out of the work, let's say, Chris Sims does, right? And I know that Sims has Wilson ahead of Trevor Lawrence. Like, okay, that's fine. But Lawrence has been the guy from day one, right? We're not sitting here going, well, he only played 14 games. No. We know he's been the man since he stepped onto the field at Clemson. He's number 1 by a long shot. There's one can't-miss franchise quarterback. The other 4 guys, you've got question marks. Number 2 for me is Justin Fields. It's that competition level. It's what he did, by the way, against Clemson that makes me feel good about his pro prospects. He reminds me of a more polished version of Dak Prescott. Number three, Zach Wilson. I think people were a little bit slow. There's people who are trying to make up Mahomes, right? Oh, I see him. I see Mahomes. Like, no, he's not Mahomes. For the love of God, you're putting the wrong emphasis on it. Like, what he does is get real cute with the football. He does not handle pressure well, and that could be his biggest detriment, his biggest downfall. And going number two to the Jets, there are going to be a lot of pressure there. So Wilson is three. Lance is four. I see Josh Allen, Cam Newton type of player in Trey Lance. Others have said Steve McNair. That's very, very high praise. And then five is Mac Jones. I have a late first-round grade on him. He'll go top 10, top 12, but he's always been more of a guy I'd pick at 31 than I'd pick at 9.
Where are you with draft prep right now? Can't wait. It's so fun doing the draft with you, Cecil, as it has been for so many years.
Yes.
Where are you right now with your prep?
Report's done. What's nice is the last 2 weeks, basically, every year I just kind of let my brain rest, right? I've already watched the tape. I've written up the reports. I've done all the work. Like, and then the last 2 weeks, it's kind of just checking in with people around the league, trying to figure out my mock draft, but not, you know, I don't need to go back to the film. I've seen every game that Trey Lance played in, right? I don't need to go back to it.
How have you done that?
Exos. If you have Exos.
Okay.
People that have team associations can have access to Exos, so you can see the coaches' tape.
Okay. So you've watched North Dakota against
Central Arkansas, right, which, by the way, was his worst game, or the James Madison when that was the championship game, so it was televised. But I'm not watching TV copy. If I can, you know, if I can help it. You know, that's something Ozzie Newsome always said, don't YouTube scout. So that's not a resource. I know that others do, and that's fine. You know, we do it any way that we can, but I'm fortunate enough to have enough friends around the league to have, you know, Exos access so I can watch coaches' tape of these college prospects.
Very cool. Very cool.
All right, how many of these quarterbacks would you take if they're sitting there at seven? How many of them would you make a move to go get?
Two, basically. I would move up for Trey Lance. I would move up for Justin Fields. Those are the guys. Outside of that, like, I know the Mac Jones conversation, and, you know, I trust when Mike Kliss says it, I trust it, and then I go, oh, you know, somebody's telling him to say that. Oh, what a great fit Mac Jones would be. Troy Rank said the same thing. Like, oh, I've heard that, you know, that they think that Mac Jones would be a great fit because he's like Case Keenum. Shouldn't we all be hoping for something better than Case Keenum? Like, oh, my God, shouldn't we be hoping for Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson or Baker Mayfield, you know, one of these top quarterbacks, these young guys? That's what they need to be kind of, you know, aiming for if you're the Denver Broncos. So the Mac Jones stuff has always been weird to me. I don't think he fits what Pat Shurmur wants to do. Now, he's smart and accurate. You can win a lot of games with a guy that's smart and accurate. And his arm is better than people give him, you know, people say, oh, he's got a weak arm. That's not true. I saw him at the Senior Bowl. His arm's stronger than people think. But to me, I'd take him more in the 30s. Than I would in the top 10. So there's only two quarterbacks that I'm trading up for if I'm the Broncos, and that's Trey Lance and Justin Fields.
Appreciate it, dude. Any final anybody out there that you're kind of jiving on that's a late round guy that we should know?
What position do you want? You know, are we still talking quarterback?
No. All right, how about this? A second, if they don't go inside linebacker,
okay,
but they still want an inside linebacker,
yes,
who would that guy be in the third round, because you might have to move up to get your guys. So you might not have the second round pick.
Yeah, and the third round's basically a late second rounder because they're so early. It's Chad Surratt, the kid from North Carolina. Saw him down at the Senior Bowl. He's got the athleticism to cover. This is a coverage league now. It's a pass-happy league. So Chad Surratt, North Carolina, get to know the name. And actually, as my draft reports are coming out, my previews are at DenverFan.com right now. When I did inside linebacker, outside linebacker came out today. But when I did inside linebacker last week, came out Friday, I definitely wrote up Chaz Surratt as a player to watch for the Denver Broncos.
Cecil, right. man, thank you so
Woo!
Much.
Chaz Surratt.
Chaz Surratt, there you go. Thank you, Cecil.
Be good, fellas.
Cecil Lammy, presented by Golden Oak Lending.
Well, why are we talking so much about Trey Lance today? We'll tell you exactly why with Football at 4 next.